Good morning. Today we continue our series on the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The incarnation took place about 2,000 years ago when the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to the earth as a baby and lived for 3 years until his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. While Jesus lived on the earth, he was the God-man. Jesus was and remains fully God and fully man. Today, our meditation comes from John chapter 1 and verse 14. This is how it reads. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became a man in order that the glory of God in its grace and truth might be displayed to human beings. John chapter 1 and verse 14 has strong allusions to the Old Testament tabernacle. The tabernacle was a pre-incarnate representation of what God is like. The tabernacle, which is described in Exodus chapter 25 through to 40, was a tent in which God dwelt among the Israelites. There in the tabernacle, God's Shekinah glory was displayed in the form of a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. God gave the tabernacle as a way in which God's glory could dwell among his people and travel with them. Jesus came to earth so that the glory of God might dwell among human beings. Furthermore, Jesus came to earth that we might carry his glory with us everywhere in our journey of faith. Jesus came to earth as a man to identify with the peculiarities of being human and to encourage us to travel with him by faith in this life. God in Christ became man to show mankind what God is like. If you want to know what God is like, what is his manner, his character, his attitude, and his heart, you should look at the portrait of Jesus as is presented in the Holy Bible. Jesus' posture, his tone, his attitude, and his reaction to events were those of God. To see Jesus and comprehend his mind and heart, his character and his habits is to comprehend God. The external appearance of the tabernacle was unattractive to the naked eye. The tabernacle was humble in appearance. It was of a rectangular shape spanning about 45 feet long and 15 feet wide. The beauty of the tabernacle was on the inside, with its expensive furnishings in the holy place and the holy of holies. The Bible tells us that many could not perceive the glory and beauty of Jesus by looking at his externals. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2, in speaking of the Lord Jesus, says, "He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." There's a lesson in this for us all. If you want to see the glory and beauty of Jesus, don't stay outside of Jesus, but instead get to know Jesus. It is as you know Jesus for yourself that you will be better able to appreciate the beauty and glory of Jesus. The world tends to think of a glorious person as one who rises above the crowds, ascends to a place of wealth and prominence. But Jesus showed us a higher human glory. Though he had the power that created the heaven and the earth, he was nevertheless born in humble circumstances. Jesus was fully human. He knew what it was to be tired, weary, and broken with grief and sorrows. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. He allowed his body to be broken and his hands and feet to be nailed to a cross by creatures he had made. He also gave up his life so that we might live. The glory of the incarnate Son of God was on display through his humble, obedient, servant life. Us human beings tend to think that glory requires the pomp and glitter of this world. Gold medals, trophies, great stock portfolios, and big houses. But the incarnation of the Son of God shows us that real glory is not like that. It does not depend on pageantry and show. Real glory lies in humble service out of devotion to God. This points to a way of glory that all people are to recognize and pursue. The incarnation of the Son of God says that we too can lead glorious lives. We do not possess his divine power to perform miracles, although we do have great power through prayers offered in Jesus' name. And through the Holy Spirit, as Christ lives in us, we have power to deny ourselves, serving sacrificially out of God-given love. We can teach, we can give, we can take in the lost, we can bind up the brokenhearted. Through faith, we can be Christ-like, bearing his glory before the world. An important point to note about the glory of the tabernacle was that it was the place where animal sacrifices were made to atone for sin. In that regard, the tabernacle revealed God's holy hatred of all sins. The tabernacle also revealed God's marvelous grace in providing animals to be sacrificed to die in the place of sinners. However, the animal sacrifices of Israel's tabernacle could not permanently treat with sins. They were there to point forward to the ultimate sacrifice for sins, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. On the cross, the true altar, Christ paid the price for the sins of the world, and in so doing, revealed the grace of God towards sinners by his death for our sins. Jesus, as he tabernacled among us, was full of grace and truth, says the Apostle John. This grace included saving grace and sustaining grace. God in Christ supplies the grace to save sinners and the grace to sustain and empower the saved. Christ is also the embodiment of truth. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This means there is no other way in which people can gain favor with God the Father except by coming through Jesus. This means there is no other way people can be saved from the penalty of their sins except by submitting to the truth of the gospel of Christ. Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, still supplies the grace and the truth to grant sinners salvation from the penalty of sin and remove their alienation from God. But also, Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, still supplies the grace and truth to fix this horribly broken world we live in. The world today is horribly broken down, and there's no one able to fix it other than the Christ who made it. Christ still supplies the grace and truth to fix our nation. Christ still supplies the grace and truth to fix broken marriages. Christ still supplies the grace and truth to fix Jamaica's crime problem. Jamaica's socio-economic and political life cannot be fixed by anyone but Jesus. The same is true of our corrupted hearts, which apart from Christ have no peace or satisfaction. The glory of the incarnation is the answer to our broken world and our broken lives. The incarnate Jesus revealed the way of salvation for our souls. Nothing brings God greater glory than when sinners repent of their sins by surrendering their lives to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate. Today is a good day to repent of your sins and to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thereafter, you will be in a relationship with God incarnate, who supplies and energizes you with his grace and truth. Until next week, may God bless you greatly.